Today's scripture reading is taken from John chapter 8, verses 12 to 59. Verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I come from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet, even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him, because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself, since he says, Where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, Who are you? Jesus said to them, Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. They said to him, We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yeah, blessed morning, my brothers and sisters. Our sermon series on the Gospel of John now brings us to chapter 8. And we pray that God will give us light to understand his word. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, the light and truth of your word will illumine the thoughts of our mind, will examine the attitudes of our hearts, realign the inclination of our will, so that we will be transformed evermore into the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We are living in an exciting era. We are witnessing the power of artificial intelligence reaching new heights. And nowadays, you can ask AI tools such as ChatGPT, and it can generate a response to all your questions. AI tools are becoming so powerful that it is transforming the way that we live, we work, and we play. However, artificial intelligence can sometimes give the wrong answers. And that requires the need to check the facts. That requires the need to discern the truth. And because of the pros and cons of artificial intelligence, have far-reaching impacts on society, a group of experts are calling for stricter, tighter regulation to artificial intelligence. Even leading Elon Musk to say that he would develop an AI tool. It is called Truth GPT. Truth GPT claims to be a maximum truth-seeking AI. And we look forward to what this Truth GPT can do. But all these point to the fact, and there are three questions that I'd like us to think about. In a world of darkness, where is the source of light? In a world of deception, where is the source of truth? And in a world of death, where is the source of life? These are existential questions for us to think about. And these questions should be at the top of our mind as we look into this chapter. By the time we come to this chapter, the kind of hostility between the Jewish leaders and Jesus escalated all the way from chapter 6. Chapter 6 was the controversy, the debate regarding the healing on the Sabbath day. And it escalated into a greater dispute through chapter 7 last week and to today's chapter, chapter 8, to a larger dispute on the identity of Christ himself. And we shall see how today's passage surfaces three elemental issues, three essential responses to address the three existential questions. Firstly, in a world of darkness, we are to be illumined by the light of Christ. For Christ declared in verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, in this declaration, Jesus was making connections, important connections all the way from the Old Testament. The Old Testament declared God to be light. The Old Testament declared God's word to be light. In fact, in the Gospel of John, there is a theological emphasis on light as well. All the way from chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, it says, "In him," referring to Christ, "was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." In fact, when Jesus declared that "I am the light of the world," this is actually the second of the seven famous "I am" sayings in the Gospel of John. When he declared back in chapter 6, "I am the bread of life," it was, remember, at the feast of Passover. The people remembered how God fed their forefathers in the wilderness with manna. And when Jesus declared, "I am the light of the world," it continues from the Feast of Tabernacles. That continues from chapter 7, which Dr. Eileen Poh, in last Sunday's sermon, spoke about the Feast of Tabernacles. At that feast, there will be a water ceremony. And at the water ceremony, Jesus proclaimed that he will give living water. But the Feast of Tabernacle would also include a lighting ceremony. Why? Because the lighting ceremony allowed the people to remember how God led their forefathers in the wilderness with light in the pillar of fire. And so as part of that lighting ceremony, what they would do was to set up in the temple four large stands, and each stand with four golden oil lamps, total 16 lamps, and they'll light up the whole temple. And the Levites would lead in the singing of the psalms, and the people would carry torches, and they would celebrate in the streets. That was how the Feast of Tabernacle observed the lighting ceremony. And so when Jesus declared that he is the light of the world, he was saying that he is fulfilling the symbolism of the Feast of Tabernacles. However, the Jewish leaders refused to accept the testimony about himself. And so Jesus responded in verses 15 to 16. "You judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me." So we can see that it boils down to the elemental issue, the elemental issue of authority. Authority. Christ judges with the Father. Therefore, the essential response is that because Christ's judgment is true and that his judgment is right, we can trust in his light. We can be illumined by the light of Christ. And how does it look like for us? In a world of darkness, to be illumined by the light of Christ. Back in the 1980s, I grew up in Toa Payoh, and in those days, we had occasional blackouts. In those days, some of you recall, in those days, the power, the electricity supply was not stable, and we had occasional blackouts. And then suddenly, whatever you were doing, you were put to a standstill because the lights will be off, there will be no power, but that will be the time when the children will come out and play. And we will light the candles. We will take out the torchlight. We will play hide and seek in the dark. We will scare one another in the dark. But what was fun for children will be considered disruptive for the adults because the TV will not work. The washing machine, suddenly your spin cycle stopped. You cannot complete washing your clothes, and then your clothes soak inside and it will be you will take a long time for the cleaning to be done because everything will be soaked inside the washing machine, and also the ice in the fridge will melt lah. And all these things, the children, we don't have to bother because adults bother about those things. And I recall that when the electricity was restored, suddenly all the lights were turned on at the same time. And everything will work at the same time. And you could even hear people in the entire block cheering. But what was fun for a while in the darkness will be considered dangerous. It is because of the darkness of the world that Christ came as the light of the world. It is because of the darkness of our hearts that Christ came as the light of our life. Because there are dark corners of our hearts that we want to hide from the light. There are deep dungeons in our hearts that we want to hide from the light. And there are hidden chambers in our hearts that we want to hide from the light. After all, John Calvin once made this observation in his Institutes of Christian Religion. He wrote, "Now, if it is true that our minds only really understands when enlightened by God's Spirit, then His power is much more clearly shown when the heart is strengthened in this way. For the heart is more subject to distrust than the mind is to blindness, and is less open to assurance than the mind is to instruction." What he meant, in other words, was that it is easier for the mind to be instructed than for the heart to be illumined. Got it? Let me repeat. It is easier for the mind to be instructed than for the heart to be illumined. And therefore, it requires the power of God's Spirit to illumine our hearts with the words of Christ. Therefore, the challenge for us today is to ask whether we are resisting the illumination of the Spirit, whether we are rejecting the light of Christ, whether our hearts harden against God. And then today, the invitation for us is that in a world of darkness, let us go forth to be illumined by the light of Christ. Secondly, in a world of deception, we can be liberated by the truth of Christ. It is written in verses 31 to 34. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, and you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Now, in this series of exchanges, we can see that the elemental issue moved from the issue of authority to the issue of ancestry. Got it? Ancestry. The Jews found spiritual confidence by claiming Abraham was their father. But Jesus exposed that false confidence. If Abraham were to be your father, why is it that you do not do as he did? How could you claim to be children, offspring of Abraham? And there was the same issue of ancestry back in chapter 4. What was happening in chapter 4? Chapter 4, Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. She said to Jesus, "Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." In the same way, the Samaritan woman found false confidence in the fact that she must be doing well, she must be doing fine, because she descended from Jacob's line, and she drank from Jacob's well. And she thought that because of that, she must be doing well. And after Jesus challenged the Jews for claiming Abraham as their father, what did the Jews do? They claimed God. God was their father. And let's see what Jesus said about that. Jesus again exposed that false confidence. And he challenged them saying, if God were to be your father, why is it that you do not follow my words? Why is it that you do not listen to my words? And because you did not follow the words of Christ, there is no way that God is your father. So the crux is this. This is the crux. Only the one who is liberated by the truth of Christ is a descendant of Abraham and belongs to God. But the one who is deceived by the lies of the devil is not a descendant of Abraham and does not belong to God. And that was the crux of the challenge. And therefore, ancestry counts for nothing at all if we do not listen to Christ. Because Christ speaks for the Father. And therefore, the challenge for us is to be liberated by the truth of Christ. Christ speaks for the Father, and we are liberated by the truth of Christ. And how does it look like for us living in a world of deception to be liberated by the truth of Christ? Now, like the Samaritan woman and the Jews, we can easily find false confidence in a number of things, such as ancestry, attendance, associations. Ancestry in relation to our family, our extended family, because I grew up in a Christian household, I must be doing well. Attendance in church, because I've been faithfully attending church, I must be doing well. Association to institutions, being part of a larger network, and because of that, we find confidence in that association. But ancestry, attendance, association, it counts for nothing if we do not listen to the truth of Christ because he speaks for the Father. And therefore, in a world of deception, in the kind of world that we live in, we need to know where we are placing our true confidence, where is the source of our reliance. C.S. Lewis once wrote these words: you never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death to you. It is easy to say you believe a rope to be strong and sound as long as you are merely using it to cord a box, to tie up a box. But suppose you had to hang by that rope over a precipice. Wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted it? In a world of deception, in the kind of world that we live in, only the truth of Christ can save us. Only the truth of Christ can liberate us. And we must examine today, where is the source of our confidence? Sir William Ramsay was a highly educated atheist. He devoted his study into archaeology in order to prove that the Bible was wrong. And so he embarked on a journey to the Holy Land and traced the missionary journey of the Apostle Paul written by Luke in the book of Acts. And he compared what he saw with what he read. And after 25 years of research, he came to this conclusion that the book of Luke has historical accuracy that is on par with the best historical works. And he declared that Luke is a historian of the first rank. Not merely are his statements of fact trustworthy, this author should be placed along with the very greatest historians. And having started out on a journey to disprove the Bible, he arrived at the same conclusion like many others had arrived at before him. The same conclusion was that the Bible is true. And subsequently, He shocked the entire academic world by declaring that he was a Christian. And he will go on to become a renowned New Testament scholar. And the truth has set him free. And what about us? Are we seeking false confidence in all the things of this world? In ancestry, attendance, association, or any other things. But we still find ourselves deceived by lies of the devil. We still find ourselves enslaved in sin. Today, in a world of deception, let us go forth to be liberated by the truth of Christ. Thirdly, in a world of death, we are to be secure in the life of Christ. For it is written in verses 51 to 53, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." And the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? And who do you make yourself out to be?" And this exchange between Jesus and the Jewish leaders moved from the elemental issue of authority to ancestry to the afterlife. Pay attention to verse 53. "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Ironically, this question will be the same kind of question that the Samaritan woman asked. Remember, the Samaritan woman said something similar. The Samaritan woman asked in chapter 4, verse 12, "Are you greater than our father Jacob?" And in that question, the Samaritan woman spoke more than she knew, because Jesus is indeed greater than Jacob. Jacob gave physical water. Jesus gives living water. And likewise for the question, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died?" The Jews spoke more than they knew, because Jesus is indeed greater than Abraham. Abraham was mortal. Christ is eternal. And that is why Christ is greater than Jacob. Christ is greater than Abraham. And by now we begin to see the connections in Jesus' very key declarations in this chapter. Pay attention to three declarations. And this is how we understand what he was trying to say. He declared that you follow after Christ's light, and we will not walk in darkness. We abide in Christ's truth. We will not live in deception and hold on to Christ's words, and we will not fear of death. And this is the challenge for us today, of what it means for us to live in a world of darkness, deception, and death. And how does it look like for us to live in a world of death and not to fear death? How to live in a world of death and to be secure in the life of Christ? A few weeks ago, my younger daughter asked me a question, "Daddy, how old are you?" And I told her my age, which of course I'm not going to say over the live stream here. I got a lot of people watching on live stream. But at the 11 o'clock service, I will say that. But it doesn't matter. My age doesn't matter. But her response is what matters, because she replied immediately, "What? You so old, ah?" And I didn't expect that. By the time your children become teenagers, they say things that shock you. "What? You so old, ah?" But I'm glad that she didn't use words like, "What? Aged, ah?" And ancient, ah? Antiquated, ah? Oh. But I think those words will come along the way. And just this week, I've learned another word, lah. Super aged. Reported in the news. You read the news? The next slide. The previous slide, sorry. Yeah. It was reported in news this past week that Singapore will become a super aged society in just a few years' time because of certain category. Super aged. In a world that celebrates youth and vitality, how do we view our own aging? How do we view our own mortality? And it was back in 2016, it was reported. Now, this is the slide that talks about a super aged status, a super aged society that we will become in 2026. Super aged. What a word to use, right? Back in 2016, there was a reported in news, a 14-year-old British girl, she contracted a very sad case, terminal stage cancer. No longer curable. She was dying. She did her research. She did her research and said that she wanted to go through cryonics upon her death. Now, cryonics would be a procedure, a scientific procedure, that would preserve the body in liquid nitrogen. And so that the body will not decay. So that, with the hope that someday, medical advancement will be so progressive that the body will be woken up from death. But it will be a very costly process. And between the parents, they disputed, they disagreed. The father did not want to agree to that, so she got the mother to do it. And because the parents were not on good terms, they are going to be divorced anyway. So this girl went to court and wanted a court ruling to give the mother the legal rights to take charge of her body upon her death. During a court hearing, she told the judge, "I'm only 14 years old, and I don't want to die. But I know I'm going to die. I think being preserved gives me a chance to be cured and woken up, even in hundreds of years' time. I don't want to be buried underground. I want to live and live longer. And I think that in the future, they may find a cure for my cancer and wake me up. I want to have this chance, and this is my wish." That's a very sad case, and words that weigh down our hearts that come from a dying 14-year-old girl. Her legal action was approved by the court. She got what she wanted, and she died a week later. She became the 144th person whose body was preserved at the Cryonics Institute in Michigan. It's a very sad case, but we need to ponder a bit more about our own attitudes towards aging and mortality. Our own response towards aging, mortality, and perhaps even our fear of death. If we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin and rose in victory from the dead, and that we who are in Christ have eternal life, even though in this life our body may age, our body will decay, how will that impact and change the way we respond to the issue of aging and mortality? Today, in a world of death, we can go forth to find that security in the life of Christ. And so in a world of darkness, we can be illumined by the light of Christ. In the world of deception, we can be liberated by the truth of Christ. In the world of death, we can be secure in the life of Christ. In and through Christ, we know how to live in a world of darkness, in a world of deception, in a world of death. E. Stanley Jones was an American missionary who served many years in India. And he told the story of a missionary who was trying to go to reach out to another town, another village, but he got lost in the forest. He couldn't find his way. And so after bashing through the bushes, he saw at a distance another village. And so he entered the village. He explained his situation. And he managed to find a native to be his guide, to bring him back through the forest to where he wanted to go originally. And so the native went ahead of him to lead the way, to guide the way, and best through the forest. And after following closely for a long time, with no clear path in sight, it was getting dark. It was getting dangerous. And there seemed to be no end in sight. And so the missionary wondered whether that native had also lost his way. And so he called out to that native guide, "Are you sure this is the way? Where is the path? It is getting dark. It is getting dangerous." And the native replied, "In this place, there is no path. I am the path. Follow me. Follow me." In the same way, Jesus Christ is the path. In the world of darkness, we can be illumined by his light. In the world of deception, we can be liberated by his truth. In the world of death, we can be secured in his life. Amen. Let us all stand as we respond to the Lord. My brothers and sisters, those gathered here, on site, in a live stream, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever your situation, there are those among us who find yourself at a crossroad. At a crossroad, you encounter darkness. At a crossroad, you encounter deception. At a crossroad, you are fearful of the danger that lurks. In such a world that we live in the kind of situation that you are in, where do we find light? Where do you find truth? And where do you find life? In and through Christ, we have light. We have truth. And we have life. Follow him closely. And let our closing song lead us in that journey of following Christ.
To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is